Welcome to Spiritually Raw. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, and theories surrounding the spirit world. Guests include QAnon experts, investigators, debunkers, and skeptics of the supernatural, unexplained, and flat-out unimaginable. Content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. This show is not intended to replace any medical, financial, or legal advice, and is for entertainment purposes only. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Hello, everybody. How are you? And welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you so much for your energy exchange with us today. We hope you woke to the most miracle morning and are having the most fortunate day today. So, you know, if you haven't already, we'd like to ask of you to hit the subscribe button. It helps us keep you notified about great guests that are coming on. And again, with ever-increasing shutdowns of social media, this is going to be a great way for you to stay connected with us, too, and also a lot of our guests. And as you can see, we have Mr. Sean Morgan here, who does the QAnon Corner for us, and he is the expert on all things QAnon, independent journalist and author of QAnon for Beginners, and you can find him at QAnonFAQ.com. Right, no worries. So we'll have links for you throughout the show on that.
And thank you, everybody, for continuing to support the channel and liking all the videos and sharing all the videos. We are so appreciative, and we're very blessed to have a great bunch of subscribers, and everybody's in really interactive. They let us know if something's good or something's not good. They let us
yes,
know.
Yes, you do.
Sure. And we appreciate all.
Yeah, thanks so much, everybody. We appreciate it too. So, hey, a lot going on in the Q world, Sean. Gosh. So, welcome, buddy. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Yeah, good to have you here. So, I know last time we spoke, it was still kind of a little quiet, but it looks like maybe Q has made up for some lost time there.
Yes, it looks like Q is really prepping us a lot for FISA Gate, Spy Gate, whatever you want to call it. They spied on Donald Trump's campaign before and after he was elected president. And it looks like justice is coming for people. We've already had one indictment, but Q is really prepping us and even giving us some important dates, which normally Q doesn't give dates. So this is interesting. I don't know if these dates are to throw off the deep state and get the deep state to expend ammunition prematurely, or if these dates are a way to kind of confirm the validity of Q and the intel. But if you want, I could read you the post that has the dates.
Please do,
yeah. That'd be great.
All right. Let me find it here. It says, equal justice under the law as written, transparency, disclosure, and accountability. Justice is the only way forward. Future of our republic at stake. Watergate times 1,000. September 14th through 18th, 21st through 25th, track and follow events. Did Kevin set his alarm clock? And this alarm clock saying is coming from a previous post where a guy named Kevin said he had a source in the Department of Justice that told him to set his alarm clock because there's going to be some indictments coming. Ooh. So that's really a very, I guess you could call it, aggressively open post. Usually Q is more cryptic than that, but this was very clear. Hey, this is Watergate times 1,000, so that means this has to do with Spygate and some specific dates with important events coming.
You know, I want to get to the FISA warrants, and you mentioned there's already been one indictment. Do you know who that is?
Kevin Klein Smith was a lawyer for the FBI, and he falsified documents, and he pled guilty. So, you know, just like with the mafia, you start at the bottom with some of the people who are not important players, and you get them to plead guilty, and you get them to tattletale on their bosses, and then you get higher and higher up the ladder. So, you know, this lawyer was not told to do this by any old person. I believe that the directors of the FBI and CIA and so forth are implicated in this.
I just received a message this morning from someone who's, you know, following, you know, what's going on here pretty tightly. And he sent me a note, and I wanted to ask your opinion if there's anything to this or something that we need to be aware of. But apparently starting now, I think those dates coincide with what you said.
They actually do, I think.
Yeah. They're looking at, is there supposed to be a shutdown, whether that be a virtual internet shutdown or a physical shutdown, while they start to do these mass arrests? Have you heard anything along those lines?
No, I haven't heard anything along those lines. I don't really expect that in September, to be honest. I would think that that would be more along election time, just because I think that the big tech companies are going to try to stop the spread of information that will influence people's decision on who they want to vote for. So you have, you know, millions of undecided voters, and then both sides are going to try to release their October surprises. And then the on social media, they're going to try to stop the spread of information that, that would be damaging to Joe Biden. Or not even, it couldn't be not Joe Biden. It could be, you know, Kamala Harris actually said Harris administration instead of Biden administration.
Yeah. I missed
that. Might have been
Did
a Freudian slip.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, you've got her with Hillary Clinton doing fundraising. So Hillary might try to slip in. And Q has actually already said this, you know, how do you sneak in a different candidate? You know, you just say that Joe Biden's has dementia. I mean, it's pretty easy for him to quit. Everyone would understand if he did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, go out with a little bit of dignity there. So with what's going on there with Kamala Harris saying that, now do you think that is there any guidance or direction from Q there as far as, do you think that if she does take this on and she's there, would she be the appointed president, if you would, or run for president, I should say, and then pick a VP, or would they put in another first person, another presidential candidate?
It really could go any direction. I think what they do is they try to follow the polls, you know, what people actually want and like, and people don't really like her. So I think
she's
that they might try
likeable.
To, I think they might try to bring in someone who would poll higher with higher popularity to try to get people out to vote.
She's really unrelatable. There's nothing about, she's so empty. There's nothing about her that gravitates you towards her. That you're like, oh, this person's so energetic, or there's just, it's like dead. You know what else I heard too?
How do you really feel?
Dead. that they found billions of dollars being funneled through the old SWIFT system going into the Joe Biden campaign. Are you like, do you know what's going on yet between the SWIFT system and the quantum financial system?
No, I didn't hear anything about that, but I will say that Act Blue is this way that they're funneling funds, especially from Black Lives Matter. And what they found is that 50% of the donations came from untraceable, unemployed people. So they found some kind of loophole where if you're unemployed, then you're able to give money and not be traced to your identity or something like that. And so this is very unbelievable. You know, unemployed people don't give a lot of money to presidential campaigns. They're trying to make ends meet with their own families. So what this seems like is that big donors like George Soros are able to give the funds to someone else to donate and to get around the campaign finance laws. But no, I'm not aware of anything with the SWIFT and quantum system.
How are you feeling, Sean, from your knowledge and what you know, as we get literally within 60 days now of, you know, one of the most defining moments of our life, right? Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about everything? Do you still feel like at this point it's still Trump's to lose? Do you still think that, you know, that there's going to be, you know, there is some plays there? I know the Democrats are probably going to just use their own way. But do you still think that it's just they can keep trying, but nothing's going to happen?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've been following Q for a couple of years now, and that has given me a new perspective, something I didn't realize before, just how strong and sophisticated our military and the NSA is, and how aligned they are with Trump. And now that Q has given me that perspective, I see things through that lens, and I follow the news, and I try to track and match reality with that perspective and see if it matches up. And that's what I've come to the conclusion. And that's why Trump wants the military to be involved in this supposed vaccine. That's why Trump wants the military involved with the voting. He wants any excuse he can to get the military all over the country, because that's who's going to keep us safe during organized rioting. Mm-hmm. And, also, just for any type of false flag attacks against people and voting places. You want to have the military there to be able to gather intelligence and protect people and places. So, just like in 2016, all the mainstream media is trying to make it seem like the Democratic nominee is so far ahead. But the reality, if you talk to people in a diner or a taxi cab driver, everyone's pro-Trump. You know, all the people, if you skip over like California and New York and Hawaii and some of these places that are just always Democrat, and you go over the middle of the country, it's a sea of red. And people like me who didn't vote for Trump the last time around are enthusiastic. We say that we would literally crawl through broken glass to vote for Donald Trump. That's how passionate the enthusiasm is. And then the enthusiasm for Joe Biden is non-existent.
Right.
Trump is knocking on a million doors a week. He's sending out his son to seven other states while he's in seven other states. So he's able to use his family as an ability to campaign even broader and faster than Biden.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about families, Hunter.
Yeah, where's Hunter?
Where's Hunter?
Hunter, he's not on the Hyden, campaign Hunter trail, Hyden. That's for
he's
sure.
Definitely, Hunter exactly. Hyden. He's not really helping out Dad too good here.
No, it doesn't appear to be that way.
Disturbing. This is so disturbing. The Cuties show, yes, or documentary series, whatever you want to call it, on Netflix. Yeah. Oh, God, Sean.
Yeah, this hurts your heart, you know.
It really does.
Even when you just see the poster for the movie.
You know, that's what you have to look at.
It's so inappropriate. These are 11-year-olds. These are not people who have hit puberty yet or anything. And they're being sexualized in not only the movie, they're made to, they had 700 children try out for this movie.
Wow.
So they were picking through and trying to find the children who and parents who were willing to exploit their children. And they created a movie where they had these scenes to sexualize these children and to try to get the viewer to view the children in that way. And it's obvious. I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen clips, and the clips were so disturbing to me that I didn't want to force myself to watch the movie. I had already canceled Netflix a little bit earlier, but cancel Netflix as the number one trending hashtag on Twitter. So this is going mainstream. And here's what's behind all this. Obama is connected to Netflix. His former administration person, Susan Rice, is on the board of directors. And what they've been trying to do for a while now is normalize pedophilia, because they know that their crimes are going to come to light. And they have to try to make pedophilia seem normal, so that they can get away with their crimes, and there won't be as much of a public backlash. But luckily, the public is reacting to Cuties in a very passionate way. They do not want this kind of crap, coming to our families' living rooms through
just
the TV.
Just the name is disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It really, it sounds horrible.
It's actually, they're taking it and they're putting it on porn sites, and people are watching it on the porn sites as well.
Oh, gosh. Nuts.
Yeah. So, but this is a victory. This is a win for the conservative movement, because what you have is the mainstream media defending child pornography.
I was shocked.
Right now. And so when they're forced to do that, and it makes regular people, even if they're Democrat or liberal or whatever, this is something, it doesn't matter left or right where you stand, everyone's against child exploitation. Mm-hmm. And so they can't force us to change our opinion and our perceptions, because basically they've been doing this normalization of pedophilia too late in the game. They should have been doing this 10 years ago if they really expected a public perception change. But, they've been forced, the deep state's been forced to go through their battle playbook at too aggressive of a pace. And so now it's failing.
The question is, what the hell is going through these parents' heads? Are they that desperate that they're willing to sacrifice their own
pimp out their kids,
children, to literally pimp out their little girls?
Yeah, there's a very good documentary called Pedogate 2020. Hmm. And it has three different parts. And one of the things that was made clear by this documentary was that there are parents out there who are prostituting their kids on Instagram. So they have their kids, they post pictures of their kids in sexualized way. And these are kids pre-puberty, really, really young kids. And then the pedophiles comment on the pictures and they're able to prostitute them out that way. So this is there is a sex trafficking market. Mm-hmm. And sometimes parents are complicit in that.
That's the pandemic right there, man.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, it's just crazy
it's so,
out there.
Right now, I mean, okay, it was like underground before, like they were hiding it better. Now they're just like, screw it, I don't even care. I'm going to stick it right in your face.
Yeah, and you see this in the culture, in all the music videos and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it used to be 20 years ago, music videos, you wanted to be edgy, it would be people wearing black makeup. But now they're doing straight on cannibalism in the music videos. Mm-hmm. So they've been more aggressive in the deep states, forcing the satanic symbolism and so forth in all of the culture, the movies, the music, and so forth.
Do you think that the pandemic, let me ask you two ways. Number one, what do you think the real pandemic is? And do you think it's Satanism?
You know, I think of the satanic thing as like the 1%, you know, it's these people who who make a deal to get more power, whether it's in the institutions like politics and economics, or whether it's Hollywood or culture or whatever, they want to get ahead. And like psychopaths and sociopaths, they're willing to do anything to get ahead, whether that's sacrificing their own family or doing some kind of horrible crime, allowing themselves to get blackmailed and controlled. So I think the satanic thing is actually a structure of our global control society, and that the blackmail is a part of that. Mm-hmm. And so luckily I don't think it's widespread. I think it's, like I said, 1%. And then there's the other 99% are just people who are just going through their day-to-day life at the bottom rungs of these institutions and just doing what they're told. And the thing is, they're waking up and realizing that, hey, Hollywood doesn't have my best interests in mind. The politicians don't have my best interests, and the bankers and all these people are just waking up to all the corruption in all these institutions. But the corruption is absolute. It is everywhere, and it is more degenerate and sickening than we can imagine, because we're so used to everyday life where we protect innocence, we protect our children, and we go to school or work or church, and we just try to make a living and love our family and friends. We're not normally consuming that kind of crap, you know, unless we turn on Netflix. So that's the whole thing. They're trying to get the other 99% to be a part of this black magic. But most people, it rubs them the wrong way, because our soul is aligned to love and goodness. And so it's very hard for regular people to turn to the darkness.
Sean, I want to ask you, I want to circle back to the warrants and the indictments that happened, just for our audience perspective. Can you give us, like, if someone is indicted, what does that mean? Does that mean they've been convicted, or is there still processes after the indictment? You know what I mean? Can you help us through what that looks like?
I'm not a legal expert, but my understanding is that in secret, before anyone in the public knows, so in the Department of Justice, you have a U.S. attorney like Durham, who will be collecting evidence and so forth. And when they find that someone has committed a crime, a grand jury is assembled, and those are just regular people that have a secret proceeding because they need to keep everything secret, so that, for example, if it was the mafia, you don't want everyone to know you're investigating the mafia, because then they're going to start killing people, right? Like witnesses and jury members. So they have a grand jury. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know all the details, but my understanding is that they have the accusation, and so they're innocent until proven guilty. But if you look at what happened with Roger Stone, he was on CNN. They had a live arrest. Mm-hmm. You know, they went to his house. They got him. They put him in jail, and then they had a trial. Just because someone's indicted doesn't mean that they're guilty. It just means they've been accused of a crime.
Is that what's going to happen, you think? So when this first person got indicted here, now do they anticipate, like, and again, there's been some dates thrown around here, but they anticipate there is like a window or dates, if you would, that there's going to be some sort of quote unquote mass indictment that people are talking about?
Well, something that's also in the mix here as a possibility is that there could be military tribunals taking place in secret right now. We don't even know about. But I don't know. It depends on how they decide to do it, whether it's going to be a civilian or a military proceeding. But what we have is a record number of sealed cases right now. And so the question is, when are all of these indictments going to be unsealed?
Yeah.
And when are people going to get arrested, and when is that going to happen? And I'm guessing that some of them are going to have to happen before the election, especially if you look at what's going on right now. We didn't talk about this yet, but this is what Q's been posting about, is the fact that Antifa is actually behind not only the rioting, but the arson, all of the so-called wildfires on the West Coast. And Antifa is a terrorist organization. It's funded, it's organized, and it coordinates with politicians and with funders and with a lot of people. In fact, Q has been posting pictures of Antifa training in Syria, like in the Syrian war. And so these are battle-tested and hardened individuals who have experience with weapons and so forth, and they're terrorists. And so the Department of Justice, Attorney General Barr, has actually threatened to unmask some of these politicians and people. He even mentioned foreign countries, like perhaps China, are playing a role here in funding and organizing this terrorism. And so my guess is that, of course, there's Spygate. These are the indictments that I'm absolutely expecting before the election. But other ones that we might expect would be Antifa-related arrests, and could be actual Democratic politicians, mayors and attorney generals of the state, and governors. And it could be people like Ted Wheeler of Portland, who are giving safe haven, district attorneys, anyone who's giving safe haven and communicating in secret with Antifa. So that's what I would guess. There might even be some indictments related to COVID-19 and the cover up of that. But as far as before the election, I assume it's going to be related to Spygate and Antifa. As far as after the election, I think we're going to see every single institution. We're talking about corporate America. We're talking about banking. We're talking about the healthcare, big pharma. Every single institution is going to have tons of indictments that implicating a lot of the people who have already even resigned, perhaps. Big tech, I think it might be too aggressive and too hard to take down the media and to take down big tech before the election. But those are two institutions that you can expect, at least after the election, that there's going to be a lot of justice.
Do they think Saloni Apodaca was on last week, and she showed us the pictures. We had it on the video at the time in the interview, the airplanes, the energy weapons that were coming from the planes that were shooting down on the houses. They were like direct energy weapons and catching everything on fire. Do they think that those were Antifa, or were they our own military that you know of? Or was it something else altogether?
Right. Well, first of all, what Q has pointed to and what Q has posted on the boards is real arrests and real news reports of arson in all three states, Washington, Oregon, and California. So there are people on the ground with gas cans, with matches, with lighters, with chainsaws where they knock down power lines to try to start fires. So there is a ground game and these people are getting caught. But as far as the direct energy weapons, I don't think it's the US military. I think that the deep state has some military capabilities. For example, they might have their own fleet of submarines. They might have their own kind of air force where they have planes and so forth.
Are they allowed to coexist with the military as we see it?
No, I think that there's a war going on. Like when you talk about, for example, the deep underground military bases, and we see all these earthquakes. Mm-hmm. I think what's happening is that the U.S. military, probably in conjunction with their allies around the world, are fighting an underground war as we speak right now. And they're fighting it against the deep state. And the deep state has military capabilities and equipment. So I think that the U.S. military is doing everything it can to neutralize the deep state's capacities.
Vladimir Putin. You hear stories. One day he's helping. One day he's like, you know, the Antichrist. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, good question. I mean, first of all, he's not a like democratically elected leader. He's more of a dictator. So he's been in power for almost as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
So he's been in power a long time. And
I think it's like 24 years, 28 years.
People really don't think that the elections there are fair and so forth. But putting all of that aside,
vote for me or you die.
Yeah.
He did kick George Soros out of his country, basically saying, hey, you can't manipulate our currency. We're not going to take any of your loans, all of that. So, and as a result of some of the things that Putin has done against the deep state, he has been targeted as enemy number one. That's why you see all over the media, Russia's the bad guy, Russia's the bad guy. When in reality, China is much more of a threat to us than Russia is. And so it is my opinion that Putin is an ally of us and of Trump and of the White Hats and Q Team. And that's a great thing, because just imagine if they were our enemy. They have probably the second most powerful military in the world, besides the United States military. So if they were against us, that would be bad news. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem like they are. Something interesting, I don't know if you remember when Putin gave a soccer ball to
President Trump. Oh, yeah. And Trump said he was going to give it to his son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was a special soccer ball. Mm-hmm. And this is public knowledge that soccer ball has a place where you can put information. So people are wondering what information was on the chip or the file of that soccer ball.
He was awfully happy when he handed him the soccer ball.
Yeah.
So was Melania. And then they tossed it to his youngest son. Yeah.
So, I mean, what's the most valuable information in the world? I mean, it could be blackmail information against the deep state.
Sitting in a soccer ball.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so Sean, I want to circle back to what you were saying earlier about AG Barr, and he's threatening to expose a lot of this. You know, I want to kind of play the little devil's advocate here. At what point, I mean, does it have to go from a threat to, hey, just do it? You know, what's taking him so long with everything? Just, I mean, it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, this is the common complaint. And even I have felt for the last couple of years, I've felt, oh, wow, what's taking so long? I feel so impatient. I want justice to come. But you have to remember, this is precision military planning. When the deep state thinks that the White Hats are going to release some damaging information, they start deploying all their assets, like setting fires all over the West Coast. This is not easy to do. Remember, assets are finite, and it takes resources to make, to do false flag attacks, to do the arson stuff, to organize the riots. This is not easy to do. They have to spend their energy, their time, their resources, their money, their people. They take risks. And so when they do all of that and it's at the wrong time, and then the White Hats release important information or do important events, that's the best way to do it. So if we do this prematurely, this is on a military timetable. So there are so many days until the election. Every single day and every single hour is timed. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't matter if people like me who are just regular civilians, if we want justice to happen, when there are probably the most advanced military minds and the most advanced military computer modeling, they have control the NSA, so they have more information than Google or anybody else. And so according to their calculations, it should be done a different way and a different timetable, and I have to trust that plan. So that's where I stand, that it's okay to be impatient. It's okay to make your demands. I mean, this is a republic. It's a democracy. You're allowed to contact your elected officials and say, hey, I want this to happen. But it's not going to happen until they make it happen. And I think they've done a really good job so far. And so I know that they're going to do it to the best timing possible.
Is it possible that the Black Hats have access to the NSA?
No, because if you look at what they do, they try to do communications through headlines. They try to get, like you've seen maybe James Comey mention Star Wars because he's trying to get these deep state people to go on the video game Star Wars and to communicate in the chat logs. They try to get people to go into Minecraft. If you looked at the celebrities who are doing secret communications on Twitter and social media, like between Tom Hanks and David Spade, they had all these symbols of Minecraft. They're trying to get, and something Q has pointed out is they use the Signal app, which is this encrypted application. So they know that the NSA is collecting all of this information through text messages and email, and they're doing everything they can to try to get on these other platforms that they think are not going to be surveilled. Mm-hmm. But what Q has pointed out time and time again is, sorry guys, we're surveilling Star Wars chat logs, we're surveilling Minecraft. There's nowhere you can go, there's nowhere you can hide. And so that's something I feel pretty confident in, that that the good guys have control over the NSA.
Right on, good. Sean. Thank you very much. That is Sean Morgan, everybody. Sean, thanks for coming out for us and, you know, getting us up to date. Before you love and leave us, is there any words of light that you could share with our audience as we get closer that you can, you know, give them the, you know, eye of the tiger?
Well, first of all, I want to say that this is a time that's getting difficult to even find information about QAnon. It's getting very aggressive with their tactics. If you go to 8kun, 8kun.net, that's where Q directly posts. But it's a little bit of a confusing format because you see other anonymous people commenting and you don't know who's Q and who's not Q. So that's why they have these aggregators. And the most famous and biggest aggregator was recently taken down, qmap.pub. So if you go to qanon.pub, qag.news, there's tons of these aggregators. So you have to find a direct place to find QAnon for yourself so you can read the post directly and you don't have to go through people like me to get the information. But I will say that I feel completely at peace. Everything Q has posted has basically been saying, hey, everything's right on schedule. Everything's good to go. Like, there's no complaints of, oh no, things aren't going the way we want, or there's no call to arms. Like, they don't tell the Anons or the public, hey, you need to get your guns or you need to be worried. It's like, no, don't worry. Stay at home, stay at peace. Military will take care of everything. So this is an exciting time to be alive. So definitely pay attention to what's going on and stay safe out there.
Yeah, thank you, Sean, for that. And you know, and we do really appreciate, because that does take a lot of energy and time to get on those boards and really interpret that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not for the average bird.
No.
You know what I mean? So thank you for that, brother. So Sean Morgan, everybody, and you can check him out at QAnonFAQ.com if you'd like to know more about QAnon. And he's got a great breakdown of QAnon for beginners, which really will help you simplify that. So much love to you, brother. It's always good to see you, all right? Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You got it.
Together, we'll turn the universal key to global harmony and create a unified world. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Remember, tune in often, tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings. Thank you, Sean.